Welcome to Harvest World Assembly, where the word comes like fresh bread from the ovens of heaven. And as you listen to God's servant, Pastor Gwenga Shafe, keep these words as they purify you in this journey of destiny.
The words of the Lord, the scripture says, the words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. Hallelujah. Please pay attention that the primary problem of mankind is the walking of death. It's not the sickness, it's not the causes, it's not those things that many times we refer to. Those things are the symptoms. Are you with me? Oh, poverty. You see, poverty is a spiritual thing. The absence of money is only a consequence of something that is spiritual. So when you want to come into prosperity, for instance, it's not by pursuing money. Those who pursue money, money runs away from them. Oh, you have not noticed. Huh? So Miles Monroe said, if you want to be wealthy, do not pursue money. If you want to be wealthy, do not pursue money, but seek to become a person of value. Which means money follows those who offer value. All right? Who offer value. There's a young man in my neighborhood where I used to live. So he has a fashion designer, but I think he's a tailor. He's not really a fashion designer. So he has a shop just close to my salon where I cut my hair. So one day I just asked him, so what do you do? I have some of these, sometimes people come to me and they say, ah, Pastor, we have this material, they just bring it. And most of the time, once it's a material, it might be there for a year. Because I may not really have the time to go to a fashion designer. So it's either I give it out, except by mercy, I'm able to do something with that material. So I just saw this guy and asked, so how much do you charge to sew a complete native? He told me 2,000 naira. This was like 3 years ago. He said 2,000 or max, if he's a very big person, 3,000. Automatically, I knew that I was in trouble. You know, for some people, they will say, it's cheap. These are the kind of Nigerians we are looking for. People that care about the masses. But I only tested him with one of my clothes. I just gave him a pair of trousers and I said, I want you to rework this trouser. At the end of the day, I couldn't wear it again. He returned the pair of trousers unusable. It became, you know, the scripture speaks about vessels unto dishonor. So that particular item became a vessel unto dishonor. Because before that day, I could actually wear it. He condemned it. And I now understood why even he could not afford to charge 10,000. He wouldn't try it. It would be a suicide mission. Because by the time you work on a particular material, the chances are you are going to get arrested. Because you are going to damage. In the same vein, you cannot draw the benefit from eternal life if you don't know the value? Most of our lives, all we have learned is how to live the human life. And do you know that when you are born, there's a concept called tabula rasa? Have you heard of it? What does it mean? It means that you are born plain. In psychology and philosophy, that means it is what the environment exposes you to, that you grow up and you become a reflection of what? Of your environment. In the same vein, spiritual life is like that. Do you know how much effort went into developing you, into becoming the way you are? Do you realize that if you had been born in another city, if you had lived somewhere, maybe around close to the House of Assembly at Abuja, or you went to Corona or Lekki British School, you may not necessarily be the kind of person you are, because by default, your taste has been adjusted. For those of you who are wishing for those days where you will be traveling a lot, sleeping in hotels, and then when they call you, say, "Oh, I'm still at the hotel now. I won't be back in Nigeria the end of the month." Say, "Wow. Wow." Huh? While I was, I traveled to one country, and we were at Marriott Hotel. And per day, we were spending, about $200 or $220 per day, just to sleep and wake up. Somewhere in my head, I just picked my calculator. Ah! We cannot stay here for long. But you know, I didn't feel it. We were there for about a week. So that was 220 times 7. 200 times 7 is what? Huh? Times 800 on 850. Huh? 1.2 million. We spent 1.2 million to sleep and wake up. Sincerely, I prefer my room. I'm going somewhere and I want you to hear me. Please, are you with me? I want you to see why many are struggling with this subject of eternal life. Is there anyone who has come to Christ and has not heard, "Oh, now that you are in Christ, you are a new creature"? Why are we struggling with it? I want to tell you what Satan did, which we have failed to do. We spend our time shouting amen, hallelujah, and Satan spent his time building a system to train and cage us. Do you know why, man of God, do you know why I wasn't bothered about the amount? I wasn't bothered though, I have to be honest. You know you are rich when you are not bothered. You know I wasn't bothered. I didn't pay. It was the responsibility of somebody else or an organization to, "Oh, you are dear sir, we have paid." If I had my choice, I would have said, "You know, just send the money to me. I don't have to travel anywhere. Just send the money. I can go to Ghana in my mind. I can go to South Africa in my mind. I can go to Hong Kong. I don't need a visa. It's just close my eyes and imagine myself in Shanghai. I don't need to be here spending $220. But it's not I was broke. But I was sleeping at Marriott. And when I come down from the stairs, you know, from the elevator, they say, "You're welcome, sir." White people, "Welcome, sir." I say, "How are you? How are you?" But I had no money in my pocket because it was not my money. Divine life is a resource that was administered to you. It's not yours. You are living at the expense of God. If only you knew the power of what was given to you. Oh, you can't quantify it. People just say you are living okay. They think you have money. No, you are living at the expense of who? You are living at God's expense. And I want this thing to sink into your spirit. Because the moment it sinks, Hebrews says, those who have believed have what? They have entered into his rest. You just rest. You just not. The lion will not eat grass. That's why the scripture tells us that every day we should remember his testimonies, his benefit. Because we know Jesus, our Lord, said to us, he said, the birds of the air, they do not sow. So if you are struggling so hard to do something, maybe God is not there. Maybe. Or maybe it's not time. Come on now. Are you with me? Because God will make provision if it's his project. Jesus gave us a principle and he said, the birds of the air, they do not sow. And they do not what? They don't what? They don't plant. They don't sow. They just wait for you to do your thing. Then they go and pluck it. Which means God leads us into the place of our harvest. He said, for I am the Lord thy God. In the book of Isaiah, I believe chapter 48. And I lead you in the way of profit. He said, I will lead you in the way. That means one of the things the Holy Spirit is supposed to do for you is to lead you to where you will find profit. Both financially, spiritually, and otherwise. The reason why you see some people following Satan, and no matter what you say, they will tell you they will die here, is because Satan leads them into profit. There was a governor in this 48:17, Isaiah 48:17. There was a governor in this state. When he became governor, so they called him, one of the brokers here, power brokers, called him and said, now that you are the governor, we need to fortify you. Ah. And the guy said, me, I believe in Jesus Christ too. I believe in Jesus Christ. So they asked him, who here doesn't believe in Jesus Christ? We are telling you that for every advancement you make spiritually, you will have enemies commensurate at that level. It's not a question of, it's because, no. It may be because I'm broke. Or maybe because of the level I am. No, when you, you see that level you are praying for, when you get there, they are waiting. These ones here, the former level, they have OND. These new ones have masters. So nobody will tell you, maybe the former level, you are used to you are used to buffet early in the morning. And your testimony is that God is good. They even nicknamed you, God is good. Because wherever you go, when people talk to you, just say, relax, God is good. There's one movie I used to watch with my wife, Greenleaf. It's the movie that as a couple, like, we sit down, we enjoy watching together. And it's setting is in a church kind of, you know. So every time you see them, you say, oh, hallelujah, God is good. That we both start laughing. We just enjoy that accent, like, hallelujah. You know, God just spoke to me right now. We are. And she just told a lie before coming here. And she's telling somebody else, God spoke to her. I said, this American, sir. So we used to. And they always have, you know, their table is always filled with lots of food. And they believe God is good. But when you get to a new level, you realize that if you are going to make progress, you will have to cut breakfast. And maybe lunch. So maybe just eat once a day. But it is the demand for the level that you are now in. And some of you are not seeing that, which is why God is being patient. Until you see it, if not, you will say, God, this is not what I prayed for. This is what you prayed for. Do you know what Satan did? You were born tabula rasa. You came into the world, and from the very first day in your parents, in the house of your parents, they started teaching you the human life. The course of this world. You started learning how to live life like a Nigerian. You learned how to jump buses. There was no special training. You just observed and you learned. When I first got to Lagos, I used to live around Suile, Masha, Ilu, Sele. They took me through so many slums. So there was a day I came, you know, I was there and we were trying to cross the express. And everybody had gone. I was the only one left. And Brother John came. I said, well, cross now. I said, no, I want to be sure that. He said the vehicles will not stop. You have to look for your way around. I say, no. You have to look left, right, and I say, he said, you won't leave this place today. You won't leave this place today. Oh, what? Pew, pew, pew. He said, they won't cross. They won't wait for you. I said, yeah, I'll go back again. I say, this boy, we'll be late for the meeting we are going. Hey, this boy that just came for me, fair. But do you know, in the same Lagos, I became a pro at jumping buses at Ajose Adeogun. You know, sometimes you know, in those days as a banker, when we just close, shut down from work, you look very smart, you are just walking quietly and waiting for a bus that will take you to Aja. And then I just see this pretty fine lady that came to our bank today. I'm like, hi, how are you? Where are you going? I'm going to Aja too. The problem is not the transport fare. The problem is that me, I want to jump. And you now force me to be doing, you know, fine boy, collected guy. I'll be doing, so okay, let's try this one. From Abuja, from VI to Aja is 3 hours. There's no time for this. You will jump. The girls are like, this boss, I don't like this boss. Hey, which kind of bad man can do this? Go your way. Let me jump my boss. I don't know. I'm the one that will pay. I will pay, but you are wasting my time. But I cannot tell the girl that you need to be up and doing. But a few years ago, I couldn't cross the road. In fact, not only will you learn how to jump into a bus, you must learn how to jump out. Which is a different certification. A town hall that is different. You must master it. Because if you don't jump down properly, otilo, otilo, otilo. Nature, life, environment taught you your human life, its capacity, its weakness. When you are in the faith, just the same way you had to go from primary school, secondary school, university, masters, started dating, they broke your heart, you too, you broke somebody's heart, and you finally settled down. And you finally said, by experience, I know. When you get to the point where you can tell somebody, by experience, if I tell you this thing will not work, it will not work. This guy is not going anywhere. Everybody will chop breakfast. But you are telling someone because life has taught you humanity. Now, why do you think you are going to become a Christian and suddenly you will manifest the fullness of eternal life? Look at what it took life to. 20 years, 30 years before you became like this. Do you see that we are already behind schedule? That's why you need this message. We all have to go back to school again. Are you here this morning? We all have to go back to school. We all have to learn. We all have to be open-minded, because the problem is that most times, the things we have known and learned, they are giving us different vibes. When you learn eternal life, you can run your home on agape love. Hello. Now, most guys will not tell you because they are nice. Most guys, you know, we have been taught as men never to be honest with women. Anything they want, just say it's okay, it's okay. That there can be peace in the house, and then your wife can be telling her friends, it's a gentleman. No. I'm so glad I got it right. Let me not tell you what I'm thinking, because some of you will be shocked. When guys meet and they talk, and we talk about our struggles, then you know that sometimes for you to stay married, you need to walk by faith. Huh? You need to do what? You need to walk by faith. Because the lady you married, she's not the same person anymore. Everybody's changing. Unfortunately, this is not in my seminar. I would have given a paper to only the guys, only guys only, and ask you, do you still consider your wife as attractive as you used to? On a scale of 1 to 10, what value do you put on your wife? 10 being the highest. Don't put your name. You will now realize that when God said, love your wife, and women, submit to your husband, he was speaking after the order of life. Because when man and Eve, when man and Satan and his wife fed on that fruit is not an apple, it's a type of knowledge. When they fed on that fruit, it had certain reactions within them. And the side effect of that reaction was that a woman now found it difficult to become submissive. It was an after effect of the drug. And a man now realized that he lost variety. Say variety. A man lost variety. So that's why the true test of a man is not love, it's faithfulness. A man proves his love by what? Faithfulness. It takes divine life, growing in divine life, to choose to be with a person, even when the doctor says she can't have a child. Are you with me? It takes divine life when your wife is troublesome and always creating problems for you to decide, I will walk in love. Hallelujah. So we need to learn eternal life. It's not just something that is given, it's a school. The ecosystem of heaven. We have to learn it so that we can live that type of life on this earth. Let's read 1 John chapter 5. And from verse 9. We're going to read 9, verse 9, all the way about 5 verses or 4 verses down. Alright. If we receive the witness of men, then the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God which he has testified in his Son. If there is anything that the Lord has to say to you, he has given that testimony in his Son. Which means every resource, every wisdom, every knowledge, the Bible says just the power and the wisdom of God. Everything about your life that you think is giving you headache now, the Bible says God has given a testimony in his Son. What is he saying? Look at my Son. When he hung that serpent in the wilderness, he said, as many as can look as this serpent, they will be saved. There is nothing. The problem most people are having is that Jesus is not enough. Like that governor that won election in Lagos State. They asked him, you say you're a Christian. I say you're a Christian. If your enemies rise up today, can you call Jesus once and he will answer you? The man became quiet. So the issue is not about you claiming to be a Christian. It's not about you claiming to have eternal life. The issue is, are you proficient? Have you become an expert? To the point that even if you don't have time to pray and all you can do is to raise your voice and shout, Jesus, your voice will beckon to heaven for emergency assistance. To get to that point, you must learn eternal life. Because just like a little child that is born, his voice is very weak. The next day, if you see the baby, the voice is, his voice is louder. But maybe because it has started feeding. You look at the same baby in 3 months, the baby is even stronger. Look at the baby in 1 year. The baby is now probably able to walk. I was speaking to a particular father, and he said his baby is about a year, but the baby can't sit. And I told him, bring the baby to church. He was asking me, why can't we come to your house? I said, no. We sat in the car, and we talked about it, and I said, no. Most people don't really understand how this thing works. Huh? When I'm here, I'm not just going to minister to you out of the anointing that is as a result of my relationship with God. I also have access to extra help, like the anointing upon. Huh? You may be lucky. It may be the day I'm just prophesying and, you know, I may be able to help you better on other days. Or it may be the day that we have access to the healing anointing. But right now, I'm sitting with you in the car, and all I'm thinking about is just to go there, buy akara and bread, and go home and eat. I'm not really thinking about praying. So you don't need this version of me. You need the one that is anointed. This one you are talking to now just wants bread and akara. Then some people, they are only used to seeing you in a particular way. Because every time I've gone to his office, I went wearing knicker, palm slippers, and body yoga. So it took a while for him to realize this guy is a pastor. In fact, he didn't know until he spoke to Pastor Se. He said, Pastor, he's a pastor. He said, hey, I was suspecting. He said, look at your head. Mr. Stay there. Mr. Just stay there. You enhance yourself, you suddenly realize you are 70. Then I saw him recently say, please, sir, let's come to your house. I said, no. Why? Most people who know me on the outside, they have a perspective to who I am. But if you see me here, I'm a different person. So it's easier for me to minister to you, like the lady that her mom had cancer in South Africa. And they had already operated and taken out a part of, I think, the left side. And she came back to Nigeria, and the thing relapsed. So that's when she met Pastor Egotome, and Egotome said, look, then we used to have Saturday prayer meeting, said that she should come. And she came, and she told me, saying, hey, I'm actually in a hurry. I said, you can go wherever you want to go. The person that told you to come here, didn't he tell you who you are coming to meet? Then, you know, I still really want to get to the house. There's something about my job. I said, go and do your job now. Maybe you're not the one that is sick. It's your mom. Go and do your job. I said, look, I will not attend to you today. Like, what? I said, number one, you are late. The God I want to call on to answer you has been here. Prayer meeting has started. People are praying here. He said, I should pray for you in my office. Please, so me, I'm going for prayer meeting. I also came to pray. I said, if you so wish, you may want to join us for prayers. Since you say you are going to work or you are going home, also, don't be late. Start going to your office. So I went, I came here. I think somebody was, maybe past, I don't know, maybe Pastor Brian or something. I didn't even answer. God, number one, I was already turned off. Like, what is this? You came late. Then, did I charge you? Why are you stressing my life? Did I collect prophet offering? Say no. Say, please, don't kill me. Mark by me. Benita, mark by me. Leave me alone. So I noticed she waited. She was in that corner. After the service, she now came. Pastor, I'm sorry. I said, okay, kneel down. Your mom is free. And she left. Only for her to go and give her mom my phone number. Me that, in fact, that day I was within Unilag. Before God and mine, I didn't even pray that morning. Now, don't copy this bad behavior. Don't copy this part of this. But I'm just being honest with you to to show you what Yoruba people call ajulo. Ajulo lorun. Eh? If God wants to do certain things, it will bypass all your weakness and he will do it. I saw a call from South Africa and I picked it. Hello, so this is so person's mom. I said, how are you? No, I was even sure, like, why give someone my number? It's because it's foreign call, though. That's why I even picked it. Me, I know if na unknown number, I know they pick them, but now unknown foreign number. So I pick them. They are taking me into the theater. They just want to do a quick scan again. Please, I just want you to say one prayer. The woman is a zonal pastor in Redeem. And I said, you know, I was eating. I rushed out of the class, stood over the railings, in the name of Jesus. You know, when I finished that prayer, I say, you're a bad boy. You know, like, if this is how God answers prayer, you have killed this woman. Because even me, I wasn't ready for the prayer. It was while I was praying for her, I realized that you didn't pray this morning. I said, Father, in the name of Jesus, Father, Holy Ghost, touch her, amen, amen. I said, go, God will go with you. To be at the hospital, you and God and doctor, you will be. They wheeled her into the theater. And they stopped. The doctor said, where is the cancer? They couldn't find it. When they told me, I wanted to run away. Like, the doctor said, so why did we operate initially? Because there's no trace. It's like, there's no trace of cancer ever being in this body. I say, Jesus, I'm afraid of you. The woman came to Nigeria. Hey, I want to come and see. I said, don't come. I don't want to see you. Listen, my mom is insisting. She wants. I said, did I hear you? I don't need to see you. Go to your church and do your Thanksgiving. You are a pastor now. Go to your church. You must learn eternal life. Because the day your life will depend on it, you must learn how to switch in between interface. When one server is down, you unplug and plug in. Because only when you plug in actively can you get the benefit that comes from that life. But you must learn it. You will not know. I asked my wife a question. I said, if a young person decides to stay on fruits and vegetables for 1 year, what will happen to him? What do you think? Did he say malnourish? You will have a brand new body. All those things they are telling you that is in your father's generation, all those sickness that are in your grandfather's generation. If you go on fruits and vegetables alone, I didn't say you should cook the vegetable, eat it raw. Most of them, you have to eat them raw. Blend them. Your body will be remade. You will be shocked. Your biological age will go down. So God never designed us to eat anything that was processed. It was we are dying because we all love toast bread and all those things. But and fried eggs, those things were not meant for us. I'm just telling you that we have been taught in a way that now we now see this life as the normal life. So the divine life that is locked up in your spirit, you have no idea what to do to steer it. And most times you find the life popping out. Go and check almost everywhere you see the life manifesting. You are either in a place where there was intense spiritual activity. Maybe there was some intense worship. The atmosphere was very charged. Your spirit responded. But when you are not able to grow this life and begin to use it as your primary source of life, have you ever been on the road and you had a knowing? You are not praying. You just had a knowing. Do you know that divine life has capacity for superior knowledge? Has capacity for information you don't have access to? Do you know that every gift of the Spirit has to rest on the divine life as the primary operating system for that gift to flow? Any other thing outside that will be a satanic gateway. When we say pray in the spirit and do all these things, it's because we want you to train that life. We want you to and please, you are not going to get it in one day. Look at how long it took you to become yourself. Primary school, nursery school, primary school, your parents, your friends, your neighborhood jammed you. Some of you, like 3 times. And then when you couldn't get up, they dumped you in pre-degree. You now became a senior student in pre-degree, doing like this. You that jammed, and put you on the express. That's it. You did jump. After you did IGMB. Okay, tell me what you did not do. So by the time you finally got into the university, you were calm. Life has dealt with you. You went to join the prayer department. What's that fellowship? In NIFES. Or RCF. You became very fervent because this time around you need God. As at the time you came to school, most of your friends were in their final year. Who knows what I'm talking about? Some of them are like 300 left, 100 left. So there's no time to be showing up. Just carry yourself, JJ, and enter the class and be attending. Don't make noise here. Just obey, do, graduate, carry your wallet and go. How many of you have seen people who seemed to be ahead of you? Fast forward to 10 years later, you saw them in life, no distance. You had grown, you had caught up, you have even in some ways surpassed. There are no age mates in life. Only grace mates. So find those that you have been graced together to journey on this path. Those people you are looking at will only get you into trouble. Let's read that scripture very quickly. 1 John chapter 5. Where did we stop? He said, he that believeth on the Son. Now, you see, the scripture spoke about a testimony that God the Father gave to his Son. And he said, whosoever believeth in the Son of God will also have this same witness and testimony. Please, what is the requirement in this case? Believe. Faith. A deliberate attempt to accept what God has done. Not your effort. To first of all accept what God has done. That what he has given to you is a type of life that not only raises you above family curses and challenges, but destroys curses. In that sense, you now understand that when we have to conduct deliverance, we are operating a remedial program. And we will all need deliverance. Even when you are sick and God heals you, it's a kind of deliverance. But in the sense of what this program offers, it comes with a full package. You see, you have to believe in the Son to see the potential of this life. Most of us are trying to look at what the life can do. But it is he that had the Son that what? That has life. Put your eyes on the Son. Look at what he has done. Then you can see what he is providing for you. Not the other way around. This Christianity where we always have to attach our commitment to God based on what he can do. Will not get you very far. It will get you some things, but at some point you'll start having system failure. When I first became a Christian, one of the things I noticed was that if I ever fell sick and I laid my hands on myself, I would get healed. If I say a prayer, before I say in Jesus' name I've prayed, they will tell me God has done it. Some of you know what I'm talking about. After about 6 months, I was so proud of myself. And I used to tell them, I know what I know. I know what I believe. See, in Christ, you have everything. Hallelujah. The one day I became very sick. So I went into my room again, as I always did, to do what I always do. Then I laid my hands on my belly and I said, in the name of Jesus. Oh! And the thing became worse. I became afraid. I said, let me charge this power. Because sometimes you have to do it 3 times. I charged the thing, you know, great charge. I just told myself, go and get medicine. Then I realized, when I saw the Lord on it, the Lord said, it's time to grow. It's time to what? What I gave to you in the first 6 months was because you are my baby. You don't need to pray. You don't need to fast. Once your mommy sees you crying, she will give you breast milk. That's the allocation of life. Before you call, I will answer you. It's a level. But there's another level. If you don't bend your knee for 21 days, you will not see the angel. Because for every level you rise to, the ground becomes steep. Then the scripture will say that thinketh he stand should be what? Lest he what? So you have to be very careful. It's not those braggadocious, I know, we know who we believe. Last week, I remember we had 21 angels. Just calm down. Where we are going next, people fall there. Great men of stature, they came and they fell. So in this realm, you need caution, not zeal. Caution, not zeal. Not we know what we know. Hallelujah. Not, I fast 21 days every three months. Let him that thinketh he stand. Take heed. So the requirement for that level is what? Take heed. Be careful. If you have to always show yourself, it's because you've not seen Jesus. You've not seen some things about him. What you saw is how magnanimous your mom was as a baby. She always cried. Even when you started walking, she still liked carrying you. But one day she will tell you, told me, you are becoming very heavy. There's a difference between teaching and what? Training. So for instance, in my house, I said to my folks, we have 3 grown-up children. Are they really grown-up? But I have to upgrade them. It starts by teaching. You are grown-up. So you now, from January, you start washing your clothes. You? From now, 2 of you begin to wash the place. And I need to see the place very clean, very sparkling. And before you complain, I will tell you that when I was your age, that's how I was trekking for 2 hours to attend fellowship. And I was in line. And nobody was looking for me that, our son is missing. The only money I had, I will use it to buy ireke. Do you know ireke? It's not sugar cane, ireke. Sugar cane has a kind of nice flavor to it. Ireke is that now your suffering continues. So then if you had, we still spend kobo and naira. So if you had 1 naira or 5 naira, I'll buy chata ireke after prayer meeting. I'll be trekking from, if you know Bauchi State. Who knows Bauchi State? It's just like trekking from Suruleri to Ojota in my uniform. In the north, in my command secondary school uniform, I will buy the reke. After prayer meeting, every other person in the fellowship lived around. I was not the prayer sec, I was not nothing. I was just somebody that God found. Can you imagine someone at the age of my son? He will be gone for 4 hours. Nobody's even asking, sorry, where is he? That's how forgotten I was. And when we come for the meeting, it's not as if I'm the only meeting. I will join everybody. We are in the prayer meeting. You know, I got born again in the prayer meeting. After 3 hours, say, let's share the grace in fellowship. And they were always haunting us. We don't want you people to be doing fellowship here. You people are here to read. It was a military school. They didn't want Christian gathering. They were always pursuing us. Sometimes we gather, they'll pursue us. My parents didn't know. that I was a fugitive. Then after that, I will not trek for 2-3 hours. And on the road, I'm chewing the ireke karebalabasha. Nobody even stopped on the road. This is a small boy. I was just about 11, 12. Meeting with older people. Huh? Nobody ever stopped to say, ah, let's help this boy. Sorry, young boy, where are you going? And people are driving past me. And if I complain, God will say, there's a difference between teaching and training. You need muscles. Where you are going, you need muscles. You will not get that muscle if the church is next to your house and you just, from your bedroom, you are hearing, we are God until let me quickly. Sometimes you even come without baiting, just come. Because the church is next door. This one now, you trek. So when I hear some people talk, I will be smiling. You know why? I have been trekking all my life. I've been trekking for so long. I became a trekker, trekkers, President Trekkers Association. But I was learning life. Just the same way. If God wants, if your teachers want to expose you to a certain knowledge, they will put you in a group. They'll give you a group assignment, or give you a classwork, or give you a project. And in the presence of you guys doing project, guys, you are learning the concept. Then somebody amongst you will come and present. Then one other person in your group will answer the question. They will allow your other team members to, you know, ask you guys and drill you. But that's how you learn. The same way when God wants to grow you in life, He will allow certain experiences to flow through you. And then you will pray and He will not answer. But He's there. The only guarantee is that He will not allow the waters to overflow you. He will not allow the enemy to swallow you up. But He will be there. You will just know He's here, but He's not talking. Because whatever level you have grown the muscle of, the life in your spirit will flow at that level. Come on, are you here now? So this witness, you will only get it by growth and development. He will give you the witness, but if you're a baby, you may be hearing the witness like a one-day-old baby crying, but it's weak. You need to be very quiet. You know, have you ever been in a meeting and then the pastor will say, let's be quiet. Everybody quiet. He wants to hear the still small voice. Let's be quiet. Nobody moving. Hallelujah. Instrumentally. After like 10 minutes, he will now say, the Lord said it is well. Pastor, I believe you. Pastor, I believe you. But sorry, the whole 10 minutes, are you catching your breath or are you trying to play us? Like everything God said is, it is well. Wow. But you know, if you refuse to grow, and how do you know you are not growing as a Christian? You are usually, there's no way we can judge you except to look at the things you like. For instance, now if I want to impress my children, video games, cartoons, I have one PS4 that I want to start playing again now. In my parlor, I want to start, get a gamepad and everything. Premier League, FIFA, all those things. Those are the things they like. If I put on my video game, do I need to encourage them to come to church? Do I need them to encourage them to come and sit beside me? Even if their mom is telling them, come and watch this thing on my phone. The moment I begin to play video games and I'm doing something, at least 2 out of 3 of them will come. The 2 out of 3 of them, I am too sure. They will come because we know ourselves. Their interest in these things, they got it from my gene. Eh? So they will come. It's not a matter of maybe tabi, shugbon, no. The moment I said, come and look at this goal I just scored on my phone, they will come. Ah, daddy, why are you not using Ibrahim movies? Ah, no. I don't like why you are playing against my team. I said, you begin to hear. The conversation will start. So if you are the kind of person that only likes prayer meetings, where they're always blessing you. I didn't say anything to you. I just said, if that's the only thing, that triggers you. Like, I like that church. They're always praying for people. They're always, in fact, the pastor is very powerful. He's a prophet. He's always blessed. It's better than that other church. That church, the pastor, every time he preaches, will be feeling sad. It shows your level. So if God wants to help you and you refuse to change, he will introduce affliction. And he'll be telling you, my daughter, I'm with you. Don't be afraid. When he will start showing you scriptures, when you walk, when you go through the fire, it will not burn you. You'll be, even when you close your eyes and open any place in the Bible, you'll be seeing promises. But the problem is still there.
I pray for you, and for some reason, the prayer is not answered. Then you now realize that there are things that will happen to you that will not be handled until you have prayed for a particular time. So now you are learning. If God were to tell you, my daughter, from today, start praying 2 hours every day, you will argue. So he will not talk. He will just allow the problem come close. God forbid. Shakataba. Today's today. Say, tomorrow we must continue this prayer. You continue. One day just realize that, it's like I've been praying for like 1.5 hours every day. Wow. You now realize you even forgot about the problem. You've forgotten. But now you have grown. Because there is something that is significant with eternal life. It's called aura. Say aura. That's how we know ranking. Spiritually. In the spirit, when spirits see themselves, they know. They know their level. They saw Jesus. Say, what have you come to do? They called him the Son of God. Meanwhile, the Jewish people were still struggling with the idea that Jesus could actually be the Son. The demons saw him and they say, oh, Son of the, what have you come to do? Who did Bible study for them? Nobody. They saw him, they knew his rank. All these things about praying in spirit, fasting, spending time, everything deals with one primary issue. Your aura. If you stay close to the fire, you will smell smoke. Let's read again. Verse 10. He that believeth on the Son of God had this witness in himself, and he that believeth not, God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. Verse 11. What is this record? This is the record that God has given to us, what? Eternal life. And this life is in his Son. And he that had the Son had eternal life. This is the proclamation in heaven. This is the record. This, everything Jesus did on the cross, when he resurrected, God gave a record. This is my ordinance from today. That from today, anybody that receives my Son, our God nature will be given to him. That nature, if he develops it, we make him a champion. We move him from the backside of the desert and move him to the front. He will take that man and make him a powerful person in the realm of the spirit. If he grows in this life. So this is the record. That means everything that man was looking for from the day Adam fell was how to regain the quality of life that they lost at the garden. And even Adam didn't have eternal life. He has something close to it. I want you to yearn for this, because part of the requirement now is that you are going to change the way you pray and the way you seek God. Praying and seeking God for a breakthrough for 3 hours is not the same thing as seeking and praying and seeking God's face because you want to be with him for 3 hours. They will both give you different results. One will give you your miracle. One will give you aura. Hallelujah. This record is in his Son. In verse 12, he that had the Son had life. And he that hath not the Son hath not life.
Verse 13. These things have I written unto you that believe. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. So this God quality of life is the most beautiful gift that God has given us. And what does this life give to you? Number one, it helps establish a relationship between you and God. It gives you the primary software for the relationship. If not, if God talks to you, you won't understand. And you also can't communicate. Because God dwells in the realm of spirits. Number two, eternal life gives you dominion over nature, sin, sickness, and death. And I'm talking not just about spiritual death, but physical death. Number three, this eternal life gives you the capacity to reign as kings on earth. Number four, to live the higher life. There's a life that is known as the higher life. It's the kind of life where you go to work because you want to be productive, not because your life depends on it. Do you know the difference? This life helps us to draw from the wisdom of the Lord through our connection with Him. And again, another point, this life allows us to speak creative words and see them come to life. In John chapter 4 and verse 14, let me just round up here. We'll continue in second service. Now, from what we've discussed so far in the last few weeks, you will realize that I've emphasized a lot about faith and how faith is the beginning and the end of this matter. Because as you journey with the Lord, God will begin and continue to show you certain things about this life. And then He will require you to believe. Because it is believing in what He has revealed to you that opens the gateway for you. John chapter 4 and verse 14. He said, but whosoever drinks of this water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him, what? A well of water springing up into eternal life. You are giving water, and then the water becomes a well, and the water begins to spring up into eternal life. That's the end point. Which means where you start from is not where you will end. This life has the capacity to grow and develop. If you give it the next 10 years of your life, you will not be at the same level. You become practically indestructible. Practically. Because you can grow to the point where even the aura around you can chain evil spirits. Chain them. Chain them. You come into your office and they will not be able to operate again. But you need to build it. You need to develop it. Learn how to stand before God. Because you know that there is a value and a benefit that comes from spending time with the Lord. One other way you can push this button very quickly is in your ability to pray in the Spirit extensively for hours consistently. Now, Satan will never tell you that you should not pray. It will just increase your workload. So when you are always exhausted, you will just know in your mind that you are supposed to pray, but that one is tomorrow. And then next tomorrow again, it will be tomorrow. And next tomorrow again, it will be tomorrow. And after 6 months, it will be tomorrow. And then one day, you'll be walking and you just collapse. The angels come and carry your body and say, she's gone spiritually. We need to now start praying, prayer of revival. Something about this divine life is that you must deliberately put yourself in the environment where God's presence can dwell naturally.
It's not every time you are praying. Just be deliberate about what you allow around you. The kind of sound, the kind of music, the kind of messages you listen to. The kind of spiritual sacrifice you offer before the Lord. You do it consistently. After some time, they begin to note. It's like she has been coming for like 2 months. So open a file. Then they begin to allocate grace by virtue of your labor. Grace does not take away labor. Paul said, even though I was given the bestowed the grace of an apostle, he said, yet I did what? I labored more than they all. Which means that the grace of God will not take away labor, but it will channel your labor in a way that even the heavens can appreciate. Some of these things you are praying, fasting. Grow in life, you will outgrow it. I say grow in life. And you what? You outgrow it. If you realize that most times at night, and some of you know what I'm talking about, when you're about to go to bed at night, it's your like your weakest moment spiritually. Who knows what I'm talking about? That's when you'll be having all these strange thoughts. What didn't work? It's as if you can't even, any thought coming to your mind, you can't bind it. Please, who knows what I'm talking about? Around 11, 12, you are trying to sleep, but the thought will just be there. And sometimes you'll be remembering the wrong set of people. That's when people marry other people. You marry somebody else's wife. Marry someone. Could just be thinking, that sister has a powerful gift. Wow, administration was powerful. 11 p.m. So Chike has gone to Canada. Wow. This healthcare job, maybe I should try it. Your mind will just begin to wander. In that 1 hour, 11 to 12, you would have been a professor, been a doctor, been a computer engineer, made $1 million. Then when you wake up, you are still in Sulele. You wake up tired. So you realize that your mind may be porous. That there's this gap where it seems you cannot take control of your mind. So put your prayer time there. Come on, are you here now? Put your prayer time at that moment. When you know that if you bind them, no. So now this is our prayer time. And then go and buy a tambourine. Don't sleep on that bed. If you lie down on that bed, you will bind, the devil will bind you. So you have to hold the tambourine, get up, go to the parlor, and begin to sing. I will arise, delight myself in the Lord, and He will give me all my desire. Now, your song is a decision, though, that I will arise. And you have taken this first step by arising from your bed. And you have moved to the parlor. So you are now listening to a song and say, I want to delight in the Lord. Okay, if I want to delight in the Lord, how will I pray? Then you will decide to add some movement to your shekere. And He will give me. Become a priest, being guided into the presence of the Lord. I will arise. You must know how to come before Him. Will give me all my desire. Your mind begins to travel as you are singing. You can see yourself being ushered. You are crossing layers and dimensions and coming before His presence. Not ashamed, but like a son. You are guarded as a priest. You are clothed as a priest. And you can see yourself, even in your mind, being ushered before your Maker. And you are worshiping. Because in the holiest of all, there's no prayer point. Delight myself. He will give me.
Give me all my desire.
Say I need.